Church family, it's week 13 since we've been having online church services, but Lord willing, we are planning to reopen our church services next week for the 10:30 a.m. morning worship service. We'll be having church in the ministries building. We will not be having Sunday school, or we will not be having Sunday evening service just yet, but on Father's Day, June 21st, we will be having our Sunday morning worship service in our ministries building, Lord willing. We look forward to seeing some of you there. If you have any questions about the service or if you need directions to our church, please give us a call this week. Our phone number is on the bottom of each of our web pages. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 6 today, so if you want to find your Bibles and look up Genesis chapter 6, we're going to be talking about unsinkable saints. Unsinkable saints. The Bible says that nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Nothing was able to sink Noah, and we're going to be talking about Noah today. And so we are so happy that the Lord Jesus Christ is on our side. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Our monthly memory verse comes from Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "Hear, ye children, the instructions of a father, and attend to no understanding." We certainly live in a confusing world, and we need all the understanding we can get. I encourage you, fathers, to be teaching your children the ways of the Lord through the Word of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we begin our message today. Lord, we want to praise you that while we must continue practicing social distancing, we can still have fellowship through the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives and through the power of prayer. I want to pray for our church family today, Lord. I want to pray for those that are sick, struggling with all kinds of diseases and sicknesses and weaknesses. You know those who are sick. I pray for them today that you'll strengthen them, you'll encourage them, you'll help them through this day to be able to praise you and give glory to you. I want to give praise for the lady we prayed for last week who had open heart surgery. She made it through that. She's doing well. And I want to pray for the other lady who has not yet had surgery, but she is scheduled to have surgery this coming Monday. And then I want to pray for a lady of our church who has been in the hospital this week with congestive heart failure. I pray also for a young man who has had some major seizures, and we ask that you'll strengthen him and help him to get over those and help the doctors to be able to give him something that will help him for that. I want to pray for those in nursing homes and ask, Lord, that you would strengthen and encourage them. And those who work in the nursing homes, Lord, we pray for protection from the coronavirus. And we pray for those who are going through the trials of aging and other things in their lives, Lord, that are causing sickness or weakness. We just pray for your hand of strength to be upon our entire church family. And our missionary family, we pray also that your hand of provision would be upon their lives and protect them. We ask, Lord, for our missionaries of the month, the Cummings family in Texas, that you'll bless them indeed, that you would help them to be able to continue their work in spite of the coronavirus, spreading the word of God throughout the Fort Worth area. And for our missionary family that serves in Mexico, they're traveling right now in the United States, and they've been in Florida waiting for the Mexican border to reopen after the coronavirus so that they can get back home and back to the work that they were doing. We do continue to pray, Father, for the coronavirus to be extinguished, and that you would be with those medical professionals, the nurses and doctors and the rescue workers and ambulance drivers and all those working with corona patients, that you will minister to them. We pray for unity to be restored in our land, Lord. We pray for the policemen and the first responders who put their lives in danger every day to protect us. And we do ask for prayer for President Trump and all the leaders of our country, that they might have your hand of guidance upon them and all the decisions that they have to make. And Lord, I pray for the amazing grace and for salvation that has been provided through the work of our Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. I praise you for that, and I pray, Lord, that we would, each of us, understand your salvation, your grace, that we would be thankful for that grace, that we would be appreciative of all that you've done for us, and that we would live to the glory of God, that we would show your salvation and the riches of your salvation to those who need a Savior. We want to ask all these things and give thanks for all these things and many other things that we ask daily in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's message is about the wonderful grace of Jesus. There's no other word for grace but amazing. As we think about the subject of unsinkable saints, we realize that we're only unsinkable, even in this world of chaos and crises that we live in. We can stay on top, we can stay afloat, only because of the grace of God. Your grace gives us the ability to live for the glory of God. No matter what comes our way, we know that you are right there with us. You will sustain us, you will guide us, you will help us to bring glory to you. And so, Father, we thank you for that grace, the wonderful grace of Jesus. Our topic is Noah, and we're going to be looking at the ark of safety, the ark of protection that you gave Noah and his family through the flood that destroyed the world in his day. In Genesis chapter 6, we're going to be looking primarily at verses 5 through 22, and I'd like to read those verses. Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 through 22. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. And a window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth, to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all the commandment God gave him, so did he. Our key verse today would be Genesis chapter 6, verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God told Noah that he was going to destroy the earth because of its wickedness. And so there needed to be protection from God's judgment. So God told Noah to build the ark. Jesus said that before he comes again, people will be continuously wicked. Matthew 24, 37 and 38 says, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days of Noah that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark." It was continuously wicked, just like the world we live in today. But God was gracious to Noah and his family. And the grace of God, the amazing grace, provided a Savior. That's what grace does. Grace provides salvation through a Savior. Again, in Genesis 6, verse 14, God said, "Make an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark. Pitch it within and without with pitch." And verse 18 says, "And thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee." Now listen, I want you to hear something. If you go to the next chapter in Genesis 7, verse 15, we read, "And they went in unto Noah, into the ark, wherein is the breath of life." Did you catch that? The breath of life. In the ark, in the salvation device that God provided, was the breath of life. The ark is Jesus. At salvation, Jesus places us into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us that breath of life. Do you remember what Jesus told Nicodemus? "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." In Romans chapter 8, verse 10, Paul said, "The Spirit is life." The Spirit of God is life. The ark is a picture of Jesus. The ark is a picture of Jesus. I want us to think about that today. How does Jesus represent, or how does the ark represent Jesus Christ? I'm going to read another passage of Scripture, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 through 20. I would like for you to see these verses because they are very important, but for time's sake, I'm going to read them to you today. The Word of God says, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water." Now here in this passage, we see several things that I want you to notice today. We see in 1 Peter 3:18 through 20, first of all, the mercy of God. It says, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God." Verse 18. Christ suffered for sins that he might bring us to God. There's nothing we did to deserve salvation. There's nothing we did to earn salvation. Salvation was provided to us as a gift of God's grace. Christ suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. We should say that over and over again until it sends chills up and down our spine. What a wonderful Savior we have. Amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died he for me who caused his pain? For me who him to death pursued? Amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? He left his Father's throne above, so free, so infinite his grace, humbled himself and came in love, and bled for Adam's helpless race. 'Tis mercy all, immense and free, for oh, my God, it found out me. No condemnation now I dread. Jesus and all in him is mine. Alive in him, my living head, and clothed in righteousness divine. Behold, I approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ my own. Amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me?" Wow. No wonder Paul concluded in his wonderful essay on the election of God's grace in Romans chapter 11 by saying, "Oh, the depth of the riches of God." Here in 1 Peter 3:18, we see the mercy of God. Here we also see the tremendous sacrifice of God. Christ suffered for sins, being put to death in the flesh. No one else did that for you or I, dear friend. What can wash away my sin? Nothing. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace. This is all my righteousness. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Here in 1 Peter 3:18, we also see the almighty resurrection power of God. being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Do you remember our study in Ephesians chapter 2? Quickened means made alive again. Jesus died for our sins, but 3 days later, God the Spirit made him alive again. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. So, in 1 Peter 3:18, we see the mercy of God, we see the tremendous sacrifice of God, and the almighty resurrection power of God, and, dear friend, all those things are necessary, because in verse 20 we see the dreadful sinfulness of man. The dreadful sinfulness of man. This is expressed in two words. Sometime disobedient. At one time we were disobedient by nature and by consequence, being born sinners with a sin nature, we were disobedient. Sometime disobedient. That's what sin is, my friend. It's disobedience. Disobedience toward God. Willfully trespassing against the righteous demands of a holy God. Trespassing against his righteousness. What does Paul say in Romans chapter 3? There is none righteous, no, not one. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's the dreadful sinfulness of man, dear friends. Not some of us. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's bad news, but the bad news gets worse. Going back to Romans chapter 1, we read that the wrath of God is revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Death. Eternal separation from God. Spending eternity, not in heaven, but in the lake of fire. So that's why we need Jesus. Like the people in the flood, they all perished, except those who found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We need Jesus. We need a Savior. And that's why we need an ark of safety. Jesus is that ark. Jesus is pictured in the ship that rescued Noah and his family. I want to talk about several characteristics of that ark or the ship of safety. First of all, I want us to look at the security of the ship. In verse 14, Genesis 6:14, God says, "Make an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch." God gave Noah very specific instructions on how to build the ark. God gives us very specific instructions on how to be saved as well. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10:9-10. And verse 13 says very clearly, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The ark kept God's judgment away from Noah and his family. It kept them safe and secure. Unsinkable. We put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will have eternal life, and we will never perish. Neither will any man be able to pluck us out of God's hand. And then we see the sufficiency of the ship in verse 15, Genesis 6:15. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. It was a big ark. It was big enough for what Noah needed, himself, his family, two animals of every species, and enough food and water for that entire time. It was a big ark. The sufficiency. God always provides enough. I never appreciated how immense the ark really was until I visited the life-size model of it in Kentucky last year. Again, the ark had enough space for Noah, his family, and all the animals. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The shape of the ship. In Genesis 6:15, again, God gave Noah the length, the breadth, and the height. Did you ever stop and think about that? It wasn't shaped like an ocean liner that we see in the ocean today. It was a box, an oblong-shaped box. The ark was built like an ancient coffin. There was no human way to guide it. It didn't have a rudder or a steering wheel. The ark simply took Noah and his family wheresoever God desired them to go. They were at his mercy. They were in his hands. The shape of the ship. They were in a floating box. The sustenance of the ship, Genesis 6:21, and take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them, that is, the animals, and the rest of the family. This is amazing to me because nowhere in the instructions do I see God tell Noah how long they were going to be on the ark, or just how much food they were going to need. You know what I believe? I believe they took all that they could get their hands on in the amount of time they had to collect it. And then all they could do was trust God that that was going to be enough. Remember when the coronavirus started? Everybody rushed to the grocery store and bought toilet paper and food. We had no idea how long the coronavirus was going to last. To be truthful, it's lasted a lot longer than most of us expected it ever would. But you know what? We've never gone hungry or missed a meal. Again, God will supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The ark had everything that Noah and his family and the animals needed to survive. God is a gracious God. His saints are unsinkable saints. But then we also want to look at the schedule of the ship. To me, this is very impressive. Genesis chapter 8, verse 4, it says, "And the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat." I'm not sure what all the significance of that statement is, but the Passover, remember that's a very important event in the Old Testament, in the history of Israel in the days of Egypt and God delivering them from Egypt. They were to celebrate the Passover on the 14th day of the month, the seventh month. And so God was finished with the ark for all intents and purposes. just 3 days after Passover. But how long was Noah and his family in the ark? It's difficult to tell exactly. We know that it rained 40 days and 40 nights. And Genesis 8:3 tells us that the waters returned from off the earth continually, and after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated. Abated simply means decreased. The waters decreased. But then in verse 5, we're told the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month and on the first day of the month were the tops of the mountains seen. Then in verse 6, we discover that Noah waited another 40 days before he began sending the raven out to see if the waters were dried up from off the earth. And then, after so many attempts with the raven, Noah sent a dove out, which returned with an olive leaf. And Noah and his family stayed in the ark 7 days after the dove went out and never returned. So it appears that Noah and his family were in the ark about a year, maybe a little more or a little bit less, but a long year to be in the ark. The point is, God has a plan. God has a schedule. He has a schedule for your life. He has a schedule for my life. It's interesting to me that in several places, particularly in the book of Job, we learn that our days are numbered. God knows the number of the days and the months that He has appointed for each one of us. You can find that in Job chapter 7, verse 1, and Job chapter 14, verse 5 and 14. The Bible tells us that our days are measured out. Psalm 39, verse 4, Daniel 5, verse 26. The beginning and the end of our lives have boundaries. They have limits, according to Acts chapter 17, verse 26. So the schedule of the ship shows us that God has a plan, and God has a program, and He is going to take care of us till that program, that plan, is finished. So God provides grace so that we might find salvation and be delivered for all of eternity and not perish. God provides a Savior as well. That's our second point. We have grace provided, number one. Number two, we have a Savior provided. And that Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, was pictured in that ship, that ark of safety, the ark of refuge. That ark was the perfect ship for saving Noah and his family. It was a gift of God's grace. Grace provides salvation. We're all familiar with the words of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. There are three prepositions in these verses that explain how salvation works. Three prepositions. And I would like to look at those three prepositions. The first one is by, B-Y. We are saved by grace. Noah was saved by grace, Ephesians 6:8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He put out a lot of effort. He did a lot of hard work. It took him many years to build the ark. He and his sons worked very hard. But it wasn't his works that saved him. It was the grace of God in telling him to build an ark and providing all the materials to do so. So Noah was saved by grace, just like we are saved by grace. It's explained further in Genesis 6:18, "But with thee will I establish my covenant," God said, "and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee." Romans 3:22 tells us that we are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Paul says that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Romans 5:20. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilt. Dark is the stain that we cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide, whiter than snow you may be today. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. All who are longing to see his face, will you this moment his grace receive? We are saved by grace. The second preposition I want you to think about is the word through. We are saved by grace through faith. Through faith. Noah had to get on the ark. He had to believe that that ark, the instructions to build the ark were given to him by God for a reason. He had to believe that by getting on that ark, he was going to be safe. He was going to be saved, and his family was going to be saved. Genesis 7:1 says, "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come, thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteousness before me in this generation." Hebrews 11:7 tells us that by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. We are saved by grace through faith. I love that hymn, "My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living one, his wounds for me shall plead. Enough for me that Jesus saves. This ends my fear and doubt. A sinful soul, I come to him. He'll never cast me out. My great physician heals the sick. The lost he came to save. For me his precious blood he shed. For me his life he gave. My heart is leaning on the word, the written word of God. Salvation by my Savior's name, salvation through his blood. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me." We are saved through faith. And the third preposition is the preposition unto. We are saved by grace through faith unto good works. We're not saved by works, but to do good works. In Genesis 9:1, it says, "And God blessed Noah and his sons, and said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth." Saved unto good works. Saved to glorify God through the things that we continue to do until the Lord comes and takes us home. To glorify him, to live for him, to know him is to love him, and to love him, dear friend, is to serve him. Are you living for the Lord Jesus Christ today? Are you doing works that would bring glory to His name? God destroyed the world the first time with water. He's going to destroy it a second time with fire. Even though it's been 2,000 years since Jesus went away, it's only been 2 days in the eyes of the Lord. 2 Peter 3:8 says, "One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as 1 day." The reason God hasn't judged the earth yet is because He's waiting for someone to be saved. The day of God's wrath is coming. It's coming like a thief in the night. We don't know when, but we know that He is coming because His Word tells us. Only those who are in Christ Jesus, only those who are in the ark of safety, will survive God's judgment. Noah went into the ark and was saved. Why? Because he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Dear God, we thank You for being God, a God of grace and mercy, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I ask You to bring anyone today who is outside the ark of safety under conviction, that they might know that they need to confess their sin before You and call upon You to save them. The Bible tells us that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Lord, those who have been saved and seeing the perilous times we are living in cannot help but realize that these days are just as it was in the days of Noah. We know the coming of the Lord is soon. Please, Lord, help us to live as if You were coming today. May we be praying for those who are unsaved and seeking to do all that we can to bring them to Jesus before it's too late. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, I'd like to say, if you have made a decision to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to save you today, or if you need spiritual help, please call or write to us today. Our phone number and address are on the bottom of our web pages, and you can connect with us through our contact page. We would love to hear from you. We really would. If you have a prayer request, please share that as well. And you can continue to receive these messages through the website each week, but starting next week, we would like to invite you to come and join us in person at Waynesboro Bible Church on Stottlemyre Road in Waynesboro, Pennsylvania. Our Sunday morning service begins at 10:30 a.m. Goodbye and God bless. May you stay safe and healthy, and may you enjoy the riches that you have in Christ Jesus. And be trusting.